So tell me about your vision for the organization.
Well, I'd like to see Preservation Delaware become what its organizing really was supposed to be about, which is a statewide organization for historic preservation. It used to be. It kind of fell back off of that, and so we're working on rebuilding and hopefully through meetings like this, bringing folks out that are interested in historic preservation and are concerned about the loss of our historic fabric. We can get back up to speed and be that statewide organization for historic preservation, education, and advocacy across the state.
When do you think it really kind of fell out of its mission a little bit?
Yeah, probably it started when, and I'm not sure of exactly what year it occurred, but they acquired the Gibraltar property up in Wilmington and the gardens attached. And there's a lot of time, effort, and money involved in owning a property. And that really took away from its statewide mission because it then became all about Gibraltar. And so we no longer own the mansion. We still own the gardens, which do require a bit of upkeep, but there is a committee that deals with that. And so we're hoping that with a rebuilt board of directors, we can reach out to across the state and hold workshops, speak with our elected officials and just be a force for historic preservation that's missing a voice.
Within kind of the education piece and the advocacy arena, what are some specific things that you hope to work on?
Just making people aware of the resources that are available to them. For businesses, making them aware of the tax credits that are available for historic preservation, both from the state and the federal level. For private property owners, just making them aware of, there are grants and things that are available to help them over the hump if they're looking at a project that they think is maybe a little too big for them. And also just folks that can help them in understanding how to do the projects that they are. One of the things Preservation Delaware did in the past was they held in each of the counties workshops on how to care for historic windows, things like that. Windows can be one of the biggest expenses if you own a historic property because of the heat loss and also in the summertime keeping air conditioning in. And so being able to help people figure out how they can inexpensively preserve their historic windows. They don't have to go tear all the historic windows out and put in new windows, which really destroys the fabric of the building. It was an important thing that they did, but we haven't done it in years. The case of the house that was down in the Middletown area that was on the Historic Review Board agenda, the folks were really there for demolition permit because they didn't know what else to do. That's sad. We should be there to be able to explain to them, maybe you want to do this, maybe you want to do that, and help them through that process. And ultimately, they may have ended up at the board for a demolition permit, but they would have tried a bunch of other stuff first.
And in terms of advocacy, you had written some, is it county code, to try and get Newcastle County to change their ways a little bit in terms of how they review properties for demolition?
Sure. I had used some language out of a Connecticut Historic Preservation Ordinance, which just ensured that the public had adequate input in the process before a historic home was approved for demolition. It's lacking sometimes now in Newcastle County. It's even more lacking elsewhere in the state. As the Thomas England House taught us, there really wasn't any public meeting or anything for anybody to weigh in on. And so my code amendment for Newcastle County would have required that they post the demolition permits on their website for a period of time and would have allowed any member of the public or any member of the Historic Review Board to say they thought it was historic. And if they did, then it would at least get a hearing at the Historic Review Board. Right now, the County Historic Preservation Planner goes out, looks at it. If he or she thinks it doesn't meet any of the criteria, they can sign off on it, and the demolition permit never goes to the Historic Review Board, never gets a public hearing, and then people find out about it, and maybe they bring to light information the Historic Preservation Planner didn't know. And so we feel when you're dealing with historic properties, they should at least get a public hearing. And that's all we're really looking for, is the ability for the public to speak and weigh in on really their county.
Historically, has the organization kind of met with developers and kind of helped them through the process of potentially restoring a building?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think it's something that is missing because, at least, like I say, in Newcastle County, there is a density bonus for historic preservation that, if it ever was used, I'm not aware of it. And so we need to ask why. And who can we ask why that would know better than the developers that don't use it? So why not sit down with them and say, what do you think would make it more likely that you would preserve a historic property? Are there other incentives that would work better? And maybe there's not. Maybe there's not any dealing with them, but I think that there is. I think there's some middle ground. As someone else says, if it's in their financial interest, they'll do it. And so we just need to figure out what that trigger is.
Do you think historic tourism is a possibility in Delaware, expanding that?
I think absolutely there's a place for it. Certainly in Lewis, in Dover, in some other areas of the state like Old Newcastle, certain areas of Wilmington, we have a tremendous heritage that goes back to the Swedes. And we don't a lot of times do a good job of telling that story. And so that's one of the things that I will be reaching out to Sarah Willoughby at the Tourism Board and saying, how can we work together to promote our historic resources? Because those dollars come to Delaware. They don't build new houses. They don't, you know, do all those things that, you know, put new kids in school. We don't have to build new schools for them. People come, they visit, they enjoy them, and they go home. And those are really the best kind of dollars we could get.
In terms of funding, are grants, do you administer grants as well? Is that part of?
There is a separate organization that administers grant. Every year there's a application process, and we're going to be doing more to make that transparent and make that available to the public so they know about it and how they need to go about applying for the grants. But it is certainly something that we'll be hoping to make another leg in the stool, if you will, for historic preservation, making people aware that it is there.
How many, do you know how many homes or how many historic properties have been demolished last several months?
It depends on who you ask. At least four or five that we've lost probably in the last 4 to 6 months in between Kent and Newcastle County that we're aware of. It certainly is part of what we hope will be the outgrowth of this group is having folks throughout the state that are communicating so we know if these things are threatened or we know if it's occurred in other places, because right now something could happen in Western Sussex County and we may not even know about it. So, you know, it's really important that all of us that are interested throughout the state are communicating and forming that network to really be advocates across the whole state, not just in certain areas that are strong in historic preservation.
Sounds like you're going to be the umbrella organization, perhaps.
We hope. We hope that folks will decide that Preservation Delaware is the vehicle to move that forward throughout the state. That's what its mission was, and we hope that that's what folks will decide can be, again, the mission.